This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
3 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Drive. Sean Levine, Carrington Harrison, back your direction on Monday with Brandon Kiley. Kramer, the Cream Dog, producing the operation on Twitter. What is it, Cream Dog, at Kramer Talks?
Yeah, Kramer Talks.
You keep changing this damn thing on me.
It's only changed once, me.
From the Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line 69306 from the 816. This came out of nowhere, but I love it. Breckenridge Christmas Ale, Boulevard Plaid Habit, and 30-year blend. Pretty much good Thanksgiving. Today, not so much. Turn that frown upside down. It's Friday. Maybe you're at a mall, stuck with your significant other, sitting on that bench, not wanting to shop. You'd rather be home watching football, watching Missouri beat Arkansas at this point 10-7, 24 seconds till halftime.
Hey, Bink,
in
was,
this game.
I was doing that last night during the Falcons and Saints game.
I've gone to Black Friday once in my life. Once. That's it.
How'd it go? Did you throw any elbows?
No. It went a lot better than I thought it was. I went out to, and I never do this. Keep in mind, never do it. Because usually the day after Thanksgiving, I was always in St. Louis. They've spread these state title games out because they played them all. They played them all on Friday and Saturday, so I'd go to St. Louis, and I worked high school football, did a lot of games. You know, and I'd go down there and watch all the teams in Kansas City. If they were from KC, we'd sit there and watch them through Kansas City, broadcast them. But that was tradition. That was my tradition, was going to St. Louis, watching high school football. But at this one point back in the day, when GPS first started coming out, it was a Garmin. And it was a hell of a deal, man. It was like $120 or something for like a newbie at some point, but it was a good deal. I went to Sam's Club. Very orderly. Didn't go just an hour before they opened. It's back when actually places opened in the morning on Black Friday instead of at 6 o'clock or 7 the night before, which is dumb.
Very dumb.
So I showed up. They give you a ticket. What do you want? What do you want? You want a TV? You want, they ask you what you want. Boom, you got it. And you're guaranteed to have it. And then you go to the checkout line. You get your item. It was the most orderly thing I've ever seen. The easiest thing I've ever done. And it was easy, but I get that's not like that because we sat there and we watched the Black Friday fights. People are out there throwing punches. You're trying to get that deal. I get it, man. Hey, I used to have small kids. They've grown up now to where they don't want the hottest thing smoking. You know, like Tickle Me Elmo, whatever that crap was that they liked. There's always something kids liked. And if you didn't get it, you sucked as a parent. And Santa Claus hated you. That was the bad thing about it. Like, you had to get it. You had to get it. So I get it, man, when there's parents out there waiting. They've got to get that toy for their kid because they want it so bad. And I get it. It could be a problem. You, on the other hand, are a single dude and out there getting stuff for yourself.
I'm not single.
Well, I think a lot of kids your age, and I know several your age, because my daughter is about your age, a little younger, and their boyfriends. And they go out on Black Friday and buy things for themselves. It's not for anybody else. It's for themselves. I think Black Friday is used more for yourself than others. Seriously. Especially your generation, bro.
Well, I mean, that's where we find the best deals, honestly. Because when I went out, I know for a fact me and Aaliyah found great deals last night. It was perfect. And then we don't have to do anything today. So it was great. And, yeah, it's more about we're not buying stuff for you. We're buying stuff for us.
That's your problem.
That's okay.
For me, expect the flashlight. I give everybody flashlights. It's very simple.
The keychain flashlights?
That depends. Sometimes they get you the rechargeable ones that you can plug in to your car and the 12-volt, charge them up. It's very practical giver. Who doesn't want a flashlight? Seriously, I love giving flashlights. If you're not a friend, I don't give you a flashlight. If I don't like you, you do not get a flashlight. Matter of fact, you get nothing if I don't like you. But if I like you, you get a flashlight.
So I'm getting a flashlight this year.
It depends on if I like you or not. I mean, we got time. If I like you, you're getting a flashlight.
We'll see about this, Bink.
Okay.
If I don't get a flashlight, I know we're not friends.
From the 816, there's a lot more good releases than what you mentioned. Well, I didn't mention hardly anything because I don't know what's for sale. I don't know what the hot item is. I just don't even really care. Everybody wants that Turbo Man. What's Turbo Man? To me, if I was out buying something for myself, I'd buy myself a drone. I love drones. Always like drones. They're fun. The drone with the camera, fly it around. Love drones. That's what I'd buy. Seriously.
I've been contemplating on getting a projector screen. That's what I want.
Oh, this is great.
I need one of those.
As long as you do it right and put TVs on each side.
Is the Turbo Man, I'm guessing, the thing that was...
I don't know what Turbo Man is, bro.
I'm pretty sure it was that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I don't know what Turbo Man is.
I'm trying to think that up. I'm trying to look that up. Everyone, yeah, it is. It is.
I just remember Pac-Man back in the day, or Miss Pac-Man when it came out. This before your time, man.
It was way before my time.
Way before time. But that was the thing. I used to have the Pong, man. Like one of the first video games, you sit there and it's black and white. You wouldn't know what to do with yourself if you saw Pong. I would love to play one of these things.
Isn't it very slow?
Pong, man.
I've only played it. I don't think I played it at all, actually.
But we liked it. It's all we had, and we liked it. When the Atari came out and you had Miss Pac-Man, you liked it. Space Invaders, Frogger. Stuff. Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl, yeah. Is that the Bo Jackson one?
Yeah, the one thing I hated is going the opposite direction. Because they didn't flip. You had to go the opposite direction. Hated that. Love the game. Hated that.
I know the easy hack to that, to go all the way up and around and get a touchdown easily.
No text line. I'm not saying fleshlight. I'm saying flashlight. F-L-A-S-H. Get your head out of the gutter, damn it. It's clean. But the bottom line is, you got to flash. The thing I also hated about Tecmo Bowl, the 49ers had that secret play to Dwight Clark. It's always that, even if you guessed, usually if you guessed the play, there's only like, what, four plays? If you guessed the play, you got a sack. Except for the Niners, you could always complete it. That drove me absolutely nuts. Took the 49ers out of the game. If you want to play, you're not the Niners.
It's true.
I was using, you used Bo. I used Cleveland. Like Banner and Mac, they just throw you off of it. What a vintage video game.
They're on the text line, beer releases. What if there are beer releases on Black Friday? Like
that I would know.
That'd actually be pretty sweet.
I went the day before Thanksgiving. And I actually went on Thanksgiving as well, because liquor stores were still open, right?
Yeah, they're still open.
And I got my winter blend. Believe it or not, I'm a huge fan of the local beers and the beer scene and all that. But for some reason, I'm not lying to you. Sam Adams makes a great winter lager.
Yes, they do.
It's always been a staple. Sierra Nevada, the Christmas beer that they have, it's good stuff. It's kind of an IPA, a little bit darker. Celebration is what they call it. It's good. They make it out in California, or they'll make it in North Carolina, either place. It's good. KC Beer Company, their Winterbach, nails, love it. And I also bought some Mother's Winter Grind out of Springfield. Great beer. It's got that coffee. I hate to taste the coffee, and I hate grapefruit, but I will have it in a beer. And that sounds stupid for somebody who doesn't like the fruit to beer. I don't like the fruit to beer, but I will drink the coffee beer. I find it very delicious.
I've never had coffee beer before. I have some.
That's
in
your problem.
I have some in my fridge right now. I just haven't opened yet.
I just gave you beer before the show.
That's on a coffee blend, though, isn't it?
I think there's one in there.
There is?
I think there's an Epic Coffee Stout in there. It's a collage of different beers. There's three Oktoberfests, and there's a collage of canned beer, and I think one of them happens to be coffee stout, and I would love to get your opinion on it. Someone's saying Boulevard Nutcracker. Yes, great winter beer. I'm with you on that. Again, it's about seasons with beer. I love beer. I love seasons, too. Hell, I love snow. I know it sounds stupid because nobody likes snow. I like snow.
I might have to do a taste test on this coffee beer during break.
I'm still in shorts.
You are still in shorts.
Because I consider the short and hoodie season. Shorts, Chiefs hoodie, boom.
All right, then when does it go to either sweats or jeans?
It doesn't, bro.
It sticks that way.
I have a 20-degree rule. Seriously. If it's above 20, you're probably going to see me rocking shorts and a sweatshirt. Below 20, I will put on some pants. I do own them. Right. I just don't like to wear. They're not comfortable. Here's my only theory. You park in the parking lot. It takes you 30 seconds or less probably to walk into the building, and then you're here all day. It gets hotter than hell around here.
It does.
I don't know if you noticed that, but it gets very hot, especially by these windows that they have here. But today, obviously, there's no sun, but the sun bears down on here. But I like to do that. And I always carry sweats in the car, like breakaway sweats. Dad always told me, what happens if you get...
Yep, that's always the thing.
Carry underwear and sweats. Carry some gloves, carry a hat. If you break down or get in a wreck, you do need something. Or if it's snowing and you get stuck or whatever, which I don't. Because I love having vehicles that get plow right through snow.
Yeah, four-wheel drive.
It's a hobby of mine. But I love that stuff. But the bottom line, but you still get stuck. I mean, if you have four-wheel drive, you still get because of idiots. And especially when it's icy, you can still slide off.
You can't do anything in ice.
But I carry those just in case, right? He told me to do that just in case. That's what I do. So don't at me, man.
Hey, no, I feel you on that. I don't like having a winter coat. And I have, apparently a thin jacket is what I've been told. But It's still warm. It takes me, like what you said, 30 seconds to get from point A to point B to here.
I carry a very big coat, like a winter coat down, whatever, in the car. A lot of times I would snow shovel or snow blow in shorts, hoodie.
Gosh,
you know, it's how I roll, man. It's what I do. It's what I like. Don't knock me because it's something I like. If I like it, I like it. I love cold weather. I love
snow. That's all you, Beak.
I love winter. I love when it snows for football games. I freaking love when I'm watching a football game and it's snowing.
To be honest, I wish it was snowing on Sunday.
I wish it would snow every day.
No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
As long as it's before Christmas. After Christmas, it gets a little old. It gets a little old when you're out there.
Very old.
Yeah, it gets old when you're out there shoveling or whatever. It gets old. Real old.
There's no Christmas music to listen to while shoveling snow around that time.
You already listen to the Christmas music?
No, I haven't turned it on yet.
I do like Bink, that. I do like that Mannheim Steamroller, though. I do like that. I like the instrumental stuff.
Bink, you were listening to that exact song before we even came on.
No, I wasn't listening to any Christmas music. I was watching Twitter.
Right.
It was Mark Cuban doing something. I don't listen to Christmas music. I'm pumped about this game, though, Kramer. I'll tell you this. I'm looking for this Raiders game more than a lot because I'm looking at this game and the following Patriots game as a way for the Chiefs. Shut everybody up. You beat the Patriots, shut up the doubters. Chiefs missed the golden opportunity to bury Tom Brady because everybody would have been talking about him retiring had the Chiefs beat him in Arrowhead. Is Tom Brady done? That would have been on First Take. That would have been NFL Network. That would have been ESPN. Is Tom Brady done? It's time for Mahomes to beat Tom Brady and show he's the man. These next 2 weeks are golden for me with the Chiefs. 3 out of 5 home AFC West opponents, the defense showed some real signs. And I get it. They've shown signs earlier. The 9 sacks against Denver, great game. Parlaying with 5 sacks against the Packers, even though they lost. I thought it was bad for the defense when they let the Packers have the ball for 5 minutes. At the end of the game, you couldn't stop them. Bad, bad. And Derrick Henry ran all over them. That was bad. Good. What happened in Mexico City? Can they parlay last week with this week? That's why I'm getting... Damn it. Solo shows. When you got a cough, you got a cough, bro. You need to step up and say something when I
do
that. I
got you. When that happens next time, I'll be like, hey, Bink, so is this on that? Yeah.
Yeah, you got to step up for me.
I got you.
Solo show. No coast. When I'm choking, you got to understand when I'm choking. Got it, Kramer?
So if you're choking, do I want to go over there to help you up?
No, I don't need help.
Okay.
All right. When Chris Jones talked, we all listened. Mecole Hardman, Chris Jones spoke at Arrowhead Stadium just a little bit ago. Pete Sweeney was there. What'd they say this afternoon about the rivalry and the Raiders? Chris Jones is always entertaining. Bring you that next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley with the Cream Dog. Kramer, there's Pete Sweeney. He's walking through the building, showing off to his dad. Big Pete's in town.
I need to meet Big Pete here.
Big Pete is in town. I mentioned Chris Jones. Here's some Chris Jones right now. Fresh from the locker room, as Pete was right there.
We're talking about what feels like forever. You know, how excited are you guys to be back in front of your home fans?
I mean, it's good. It's good for the fans. It's good for us. It's always good to be back at home in the stadium when we know it's going to get crazy. The cold weather. It's good to be back in KC, man. Thanksgiving was yesterday. I hope the fans are still craving their Thanksgiving enough where they can affect the Raiders. And we got to win this ball game.
How excited are you, you know, to welcome a rival like Oakland back, especially you guys had a week off and then all of a sudden it's intense mode here?
I mean, these games are always important, especially what we want to get to, especially being in the AFC West. These games always are critical games. The Chargers, the Raiders, these games come down to the nitty-gritty and placing where you're going to be in the AFC West. So that's how important these games are. They war. It's like a war game right here, and we know it's going to be a battle. John Gruden and Derek Carr, I think. Derek. They done built up their team. And the running back they have, Josh Jacobs, with that offensive line, they've been dominant for the past few weeks. So we know what's ahead of us, and we know what we got to do to win.
Zach said earlier this week that this is a different type of offense. He's definitely seen them grow over the course of since when you guys saw them last. What have you really seen from them improvement-wise?
They've got better since we played them. I definitely can say that. Derek is getting the ball out fast. The offensive line is blocking up for him. Their running game has improved over the weeks. They got one of the best running backs in the league. If you look at him, the way he makes people miss tackles, the way he cuts and get upfield, they've got better. We can't take their last game, what happened their last game, for granted. I feel like the weather kind of got to the Raiders, but we know what's coming.
How frustrating is it when you have Derek Carr passing it through the ball and you feel like you have someone beat on the ball?
I mean, he's more so of a rhythm thrower. You see the timing. It's all about timing. Tom Brady explained that in his story. The timing that Derek Carr has with his receivers is phenomenal. So he's able to get the ball out fast because they're on a timing system where he know where they're going to be in an amount of seconds. So just got to keep rushing. As a pass rusher, just keep rushing. Maybe he'll hold it a second longer. Our DBs will lock their receivers up. Well, we can get to him. So.
This is our first chance to talk to you after the bye. What do you want to accomplish?
I want to get a win. Most importantly, get a win and be dominant on this defense and put this defense in a position where we can get a win.
Takeaways inside the red zone, and it's five different guys who have those turnovers. What does it say that there's multiple guys in the defense level that can make a play, you can sort of give up yardage on a drive?
You look at it. The red zone is critical. That's where you can give up 7 points or you can save 4 points. So we look at that and we try to not give up anything and take the ball away. We harp ourselves on red zone defense. We want to be one of the best and we got to keep on progressing throughout.
You watched the Ole Miss State game?
Oh, yeah, you watched it, huh? Yeah. You know, I was actually watching the play and I watched the kid did the Odell Beckham thing and you got to take that in consideration, man. And, you know, I won't say he's a selfish player. I mean, we've all done something crazy once upon a time in college where we know it wasn't right for the situation, but it was okay for us in the moment. And he'll take that as a lifelong lesson. You know, I'm not going to harp him on it, telling him he's a selfish player because I don't know the guy. I mean, obviously he was excited. It's a big game. But, you know, that's a life lesson.
What's rivalry games in college like?
You know, it's amazing, especially when you have two programs that's fighting for a bowl position. Mississippi State, you know, that's the sixth game of the year, so hopefully we can get in the bowl. We was fortunate enough to win that game. Our guys play hard. Our guys, they fought through injuries throughout the year. I think we was on a freshman quarterback. I mean, I can be a TV analyst if you want to. I can go into detail how you want to do this thing, man. Let me know.
How does it compare to an NFL rivalry?
I feel like college is a little different.
You on my shoulder, bro. I'm trying to escape.
But yeah, it's a little different because the college fans, I feel like, not that the NFL fans don't have as much passion, but college fans are more of a family-based organization where your grandfather went to college, then you are like the fourth generation of your people that then went to the college. So it's more so of a family tradition. Somewhat like Arrowhead, you know what I mean? It's more so of a family tradition. A lot of places in the NFL don't have that.
Chris Jones, a Mississippi State Bulldog that's played many of the Egg Bowls. It's the Egg Bowl they play on Thursday night. I admit I was watching it, too. I like watching this in the NFL. But the Egg Bowl, I love rivalry games. Nothing like the Egg Bowl. These teams aren't going anywhere. Ole Miss is 4-7 now. I do like watching John Rhys Plumlee run the football in Mississippi State. So Ole Miss goes on an 82-yard drive, Cream Dog. Ties the game up. Final seconds of the game. Would have been a regular extra point, making the game 21-20. Old Miss, and keep in mind, Mississippi State needed this game. They were 5-6. This gives them bowl eligibility. Did the old dog crawl. Dog crawl with the fake pee. Something we saw Benny Thompson doing. Ref flagged him for unsportsmanlike conduct. Moved the extra point back to 35 yards. Boom, the kicker, college kicker, misses it. Mississippi State goes to a bowl game. Their rival gave them a win because of a dog pee. He was trying to simulate the dog pee. The bulldog likes to pee, whatever. Tried to do that. Thought it was funny. Ha, ha, ha. Cost your team. Dumb, even though it's extremely funny.
That's karma right there. That's like instant karma.
But I don't know if you watched that, but it was fun. That was an entertaining game.
Oh, no, it was great.
And they always play this on Thanksgiving, the Egg Bowl. Love the tradition of it. It's a lot of fun. Mississippi State. We have Paul Bunyan's axe this weekend. Wisconsin and Minnesota in a huge game. Decide who goes to the Big Ten championship game. You got Michigan, Ohio State, rivalry games. You're supposed to be a rivalry game between Missouri and Arkansas. That's a force-fed one. It's going to be Kansas when they resume playing them, which they will. They've agreed to play basketball again. And you got the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama. These games are great. Just like you're going to have the Army-Navy and everything else. Rivalry games make it. That's why I think the Raiders and Chiefs, that big rivalry weekend, is fun. Here's Mecole Hardman, who was talking. No stranger to rivalry games himself. And not only that, he was Pro Football Focus's most underrated player when they went to per team. The guy, quarterbacks have 153.6 rating when throwing to Hardman. He needs the ball more. Here's Hardman for the lot from the locker room just a little bit ago.
Everybody's kind of been reflecting and said that they used this bye week to really kind of reflect on their game and see what's going on. What did you kind of do during your bye week, and what have you noticed about yourself?
Just get healthy, man. Take care of my body. Get everything right, man, and you know, just watch it. You get an extra week to watch your opponent, you know, and so that's what I did, man. Watch the opponent, get my body right, recover, and just come into the week, you know, focused.
Being back at Arrowhead for the first time, it seems like a really long time. You know, what kind of advantage does that give you guys?
I mean, you know, we got one of the best stadiums in the league. You know what I mean? So our fans are ready. I think. They ready. They have their place rocking. You know, we like playing at home, so we just got to take advantage of the home field advantage, you know, to go from there. So.
What do you remember about rivalry week? I mean, the like you and Georgia Tech going at it, or you know, what do you remember about that this weekend?
This weekend, like
you saw the teams playing their rivals,
and like college wise,
yeah.
Oh man, this is a big week right here. You know, we don't like Georgia Tech at all. I hope Buck hear me, Buck. You know, we don't like Georgia Tech at all. You know, they have no chance this week at all. But I think for all the teams like Alabama, Auburn, you know, games like that, I think it makes the game exciting. You know, especially with the rivalry and how long it's been going on. So.
How does it compare to an NFL rivalry like this?
Well, I ain't really been here that long, so you know, I got a grasp of the rivalry week. You know, but I feel like I was here a little longer. I know what the hate really is about. You know, so.
Because I know it's not exactly the half, but after the bye, what do you want to accomplish as a punt returner?
After the bye?
Yeah, like now looking forward.
I just want to establish that, you know, we got one of the best punt return units in the league, you know. And you know, it starts with me, you know, taking responsibility of things that's not going right. And then, you know, we got some of the best blockers in front of me. So when we put it together, we should be able to, you know, break a couple after the bye week.
Dave Tobe has mentioned that he thinks you can be as good as Tyreek. Do you feel that you could reach that level of punt return?
Yeah, for sure. Like, why would I not feel like that? You know, I feel like I can be the best to ever do it if I put my mind to it, you know what I'm saying? So it's just about me, man, getting comfortable more and more and just – doing the things that I should be doing and making things happen that I know I can make happen. So,
McCall, how much did you guys work this week or two on just looking at the red zones, trying to improve that area on offense?
I mean, we come in how we prepare how we prepare. You know, we got our days for that, and we got days for other aspects of the game. So we just coming in and preparing how we know how to do so.
Is there anything that you've learned trying to operate in the red zone where you have less space than what you do normally in the middle of the field?
Yeah, just quicken everything up. And, you know, coach always say, you know, everything happened faster in the red zone. So, you know, just got to be aware of your surroundings and where you're at and just go from there. So.
There you go, McCall Hardman right there. And I mentioned that Pro Football Focus. They went through, and Pro Football Focus is great. They're doing college football now. They do pro football. It's like the end-all, be-all. GMs get it. Chris Collinsworth owns it. They do it out of Cincinnati. And the Chiefs, this is what they said about Hardman. The 5'10 speedster, McCall Hardman, has been exactly what we expected during his rookie campaign, a guy who can create after the catch better than most in the league. Of his 32 targets, Hardman has generated a league-best passer rating, 153.6 when throwing at him. He's also broken the seventh most tackles in the NFL with eight. He's broken eight tackles and produced the yards after the catch, 2 yards higher than any other wide receiver. Pretty good stuff from Hardman. Again, I'd like to see his role elevated. I know that guys hit that proverbial wall at a certain time of year. I do think there's some validity in that, but I also think when you have a bye week coming out of it, use Hardman, use Hill. Use that speed. Use that Legion of Zoom speed, and let's see what happens. Now, if Tyreek Hill catches Hardman sometime, like he did Damian Williams, look out if that happens. I'm not going to put it past him because I do think Tyreek Hill is the fastest human being playing in the National Football League.
I agree.
But Hardman's right there, man. His breakaway speed that he's got, you know, the Raiders talked about that, you know, throwing it short, right, the Chiefs taking it to the end zone. They're worried about that. They're worried about the Kansas City Chiefs, and they should be. We'll talk about that, plus what Rich Gannon said about this game next.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
610 Sports Radio. Broadcasting live from the Brown and Crouppen Studios.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley and Kramer, the Crame Dog, producing the operation. Chiefs Raiders. Can't wait. By the way, Missouri, falling behind to Arkansas. Little Rock, Arkansas 14, Missouri Tigers. 10-0. Yes, the 2-9 Arkansas Razorbacks. The force-fed rivalry in the SEC. So much so, I just died laughing at this. LSU.net. Ed Orgeron talking this week about Arkansas, who Missouri's playing right now. I don't know if you've heard this, Kramer, but this is hilarious.
No, that's right. We know it's going to be not too much of a celebration to beat Arkansas. They haven't beaten anybody in a long time. So we were supposed to win that football game and on to Texas A&M.
On Texas A&M. Supposed to beat Arkansas. They haven't beat anybody.
That is perfect.
Give me some trophies. Mm-hmm. I like Ed. Ed's a character in football, and I like the fact that he's not going to hold back, talk a little junk. I like that about him. I like that about him as far as, you know, talking that junk.
Shows your personality.
It does. And don't forget this week, you know, the big thing was comparing Lamar Jackson to Mahomes. You know, I think we're getting a little too ahead of ourselves. You know, Florio had talked about Cousins and the gap's not that strong between Mahomes, which I vehemently disagree with because of the leadership quotient between the two. Mahomes hasn't had players complain about him like what Cousins did. Cousins put together a good year. NFC Offensive Player of the Week, what did he do at Arrowhead? Terrible.
Nothing.
One reception, 4 yards for Stephon Diggs, who had come in averaging 7 catches, 143 yards in his previous 3 games playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Therese Paylor, I thought, had some interesting things to say. Therese Paylor has the Therese Paylor Show at 6 o'clock on Monday nights with Brandon Kiley. He also joins Fesco in the morning and The Drive as well. Here's what Therese had to say about Derek Carr. We talked about him being bit so bad at Arrowhead Stadium. This is what Therese had to say about it.
I don't know. He flashes regular moments of, like, you know, he's pretty confident. But I think it's more just facing the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs have just had a better football team. They're more talented at most positions. And typically in the NFL, talent wins out. And that's really what it's come down to me. Derek Carr's fine. You know, he's fine. But he's from the Alex Smith kind of – he's cut from that cloth where he's going to have to get hot in the playoffs to get to a Super Bowl, and he needs a strong team around him, strong run game, strong receivers, strong defense.
Well, he's got that, though. I mean, that Josh Jacobs, man, you look at Mike Mayock's draft now where everybody was mocking that thing. He's done a heck of a job in that draft this year.
Yeah, he's got the strong run game, and I like his – and that's why they're in the mix here, right?
Yeah.
But they don't have a strong defense. That team is not capable of winning a Super Bowl or getting to a Super Bowl.
Right.
The defense just isn't good enough. Now, can they get there? Yeah. I think Jonathan Abram is going to make a big impact on that team whenever he comes back, right? And they got more draft picks coming. But, you know, as they are currently built right now, I don't see that being a Super Bowl caliber team.
And here is more about the Raiders from Therese Paylor. This is what he says. Do you see any issues with the Raiders coming to town?
Well, Bob, come on. You got to admit, you guys have asked me about the Raiders, and what has my story been?
They're the Raiders.
This is not a good football team, but they're being really well coached, and they know who they are. What that means is, in the NFL, sometimes you play like you are. Now, I don't think they like 31 points worse than the Jets, but was that a market correction? Yeah. This team is slow offensively, defensively too, and the pass rush isn't always there. But they know who they are, and they play to that. And you know what? I have more respect for John Gruden this year. I think he's done a hell of a job.
I do too. I'm with you. I didn't think he'd make it to Vegas, my man, but I got to tip the cap to him. Where they're sitting right now, I'm stunned.
Yeah, Gruden's done a hell of a job with that team. So, but it's an 8-8 team. It's a 9-17, maybe. Yeah, it just. If that team gets to 10-6, the market correction next year is going to be sick because, you know, then they're going to get a 10-6 schedule. And they have some talent, but it's all young talent. And I'm not real crazy about some of their better players, right? So,
right.
You know, I mean, kudos to them, but they kind of are who they are. I wouldn't pick them to make the playoffs. I'd be more concerned about the Colts, even the Titans, you know, the Steelers, like teams like that.
Therese Paylor also asked about the Chiefs' offense. Patrick Mahomes, not a great game in Mexico City. They came alive. They won with their defense. I loved it. Defense has shown up at the Broncos game. Defense showed up at the Vikings game. The defense has not shown up like they did in Mexico City. They took it upon themselves. They realized, hey, the offense isn't doing so well in this altitude in Mexico City. And don't forget, the Chargers, very good defense. Fifth in the NFL going into that game. And they ran into that. That's going to happen. But it takes a full team, the whole team, which is great because the defense stood up. Chargers four different times to try to tie the game against the Chiefs. Punted twice, two interceptions in that game. Defense stood up in a big-time way. But the offense wasn't as good. Are you worried about it, Therese?
Just health, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, just health. We know how good Patrick is, and we know how good this offense is when Eric Fisher's healthy, and the offensive line is healthy, Fisher's healthy. It's just, the only thing that's really going to derail this offense from putting up 25, 30-plus points every game in the postseason is health. Will Mahomes stay healthy? Will Fisher stay healthy? Well, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's something to be concerned about. That's not a concern that's just going to go away until next year. So that's just something you kind of just got to hope ends up being okay for this team. Like, will these guys stay healthy in the moments that matter? Watkins, you know, like, that, it's going to matter. They need all those guys to beat these good teams in the playoffs because the defense has been up and down, and you kind of don't know which group you're going to get on that side of the ball.
Check out all of Trez's work on demand, 610sports.com. We come back. Bill Belichick, that's part of this NFL Top 100, talks about the great...
Keep it going.
The great book, Art of War. Have you ever heard of this book?
I actually have.
Great Chinese military book. Belichick, I don't know if you've been watching the NFL Top 100. I know you were very interested in last Friday when I was talking about, because I had Rick Goslin on, and Rick Goslin's part of that 26-member Blue Ribbon panel that's picking these guys. It's great. It's great stuff when you're trying to pick the 100 best players in the NFL. OJ made the list, and OJ was real happy about it, too. He's peacocking on Twitter. You knew that would happen.
Yep, his video came real quick out, and he's like, he should be on the list.
He wasn't, he was on there. Earl Campbell, you know, this guy didn't make this all 75 team when they did 75 years. The 100, this is tough, and Rick said they go home, they get a ballot, they fill the ballot out and turn in. They don't know who's going to win, so they like watching the show. Belichick is a part of this with Rich Eisen hosting the show and Chris Collinsworth. And Belichick, I think, PR-wise, doing great. Because the guy knows history of the NFL. He's able to showcase it on this show. But on that show, he talked about the art of war. And, you know, I think teams are doing this against the Kansas City Chiefs. It'd be good to see the Chiefs use this philosophy going forward. This is brilliant from Bill Belichick.
You can go all the way back to a few hundred years B.C. Sun Tzu, the art of war. Attack weaknesses, utilize strengths. And figure out what the strengths are on your team. There's some things you have to protect, find the weaknesses of your opponent, and attack. You can't win a war by digging a hole. You got to attack. So you have to figure out where you want to attack, how you want to attack, and that changes week to week, game to game.
Well, that's what he does. That's why he was one of the finalists for the coach on this all team, and they put two in on the week where they did the running backs. They're going to put two in a week, and Paul Brown, Bill Belichick gets on there. And, of course, Belichick deserves to be on there. But the art of war. You telling me he doesn't use this kind of stuff? What's their weaknesses? What's exposed them? What do you do against the Chiefs in the first half? Now, the second half, all credit Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes all day long. They turned it around. They scored some serious points. Took the Patriots to overtime. Patriots dominating the Chiefs in the first half. It was down. But this is what he does. What is your weakness? Let's exploit it. This is why I'm really looking forward to next week's game. And I get it. If you're a player, your coach, say, hey, it's one game at a time. One game at a time, it's the Raiders. Well, we can say whatever we want. Whatever the hell we want. I'm looking for that Patriots game. I really am, man. I want to see Reed match wits with Bill Belichick. I've always said this. If Andy Reid has a full offseason like he did before, he got Bill. They did the banners up there. Remember that 42? Well, you go back to 14 when they beat him 42-14 right before the wild card game. But against Kareem Hunt, when Kareem Hunt had his rise standout game, he got the Patriots in the first game of the year. He's got to do it in the postseason, though.
Exactly. It's a perfect chess match when you pretty much get there to the postseason, but you're going to see that little tidbit of that coming up after the Raiders week.
But if you take the art of war, one of the weaknesses, and no quarterback likes getting hit. That's stupid to even say because they all hate it. But Tom Brady and Peyton Manning would lose games. The only way you get to them is if you get to the quarterback. Tom Brady in the postseason has been basically clean after the game. He's perfectly clean, perfectly fine. Because they have a problem getting to him.
And if they do touch him, it's a flag.
That's one thing about Brady you have to worry about. Because you got to be clean with it. But you can still hit him. Hit him legally. Right when he throws the football. Sack him. Do whatever you can. Make sure he feels it. You know what? If you take a 15-yarder, do it. Was it a good hit or not?
Yeah, if it's a good hit, then it's understandable. But if it's like one of those bad ones we've been seeing constantly throughout this year, come on now.
He's going to get the calls. He's earned that. You know, I think Mahomes is going to get those calls too, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, I think he will.
I think he's gotten to that point where he starts to earn those, so to speak, going forward.
Well, ever since he kind of stared down the back referee when he was trying to run out of the pocket, you think he kind of earned some of that stuff.
Here's what some of the other guys said in the national media as far as the Raiders. John Clayton did join the drive last week, and he was asked about the Raiders. Are they a playoff team or not? Remember, this team was they were number six. They were in the playoffs as a week ago. They can get themselves back there. They need to win at Arrowhead Stadium again. If I'm them, I mean, if I'm Chucky, I'm reminding them of when the Chiefs went up there in, 2014, when they finished 9-7? They were 7-3. The Raiders were 0-10.
Yep.
And the Raiders won on Thursday night. That was 14, right? 14? The year that he didn't make the postseason?
Yeah, it was 14.
That derailed the Chiefs the rest of the year. That team was 7-3, primed to go forward. Remember, they have more losses now at 7-4 than they did at 7-3 playing the Raiders. And the Raiders played well that game. Again, rivalry game. Never know what's going to happen. Again, it's the NFL. This is why, you know, we can laugh at the Raiders all we want, like last week. Laugh, ha-ha, funny, ha-ha. Jets had them. Jets had the number one rushing defense in the NFL and what won three straight games. Sam Darnold's playing great. This was John Clayton if the Raiders are a playoff team.
That was a good win against Indy, but so that, again, and again, this is an AFC thing because it's different in the NFC. I mean, the NFC is a deeper team with better teams right now, but the Raiders are taking advantage of winning the winnable games. And so, with the Chargers being down, other teams being down, they're taking advantage. Again, it's like they beat Indy, but they beat Indy without Jacoby Brissett. And so, I give them the credit for that. But no, I put them in the same category as Buffalo. The difference is the Raiders' schedule isn't as easy as Buffalo. And, go under the mantra of a couple years ago. Remember when Houston and Tennessee made the playoffs back in 2017? Those two teams gave up more points than they scored, which means they're the equivalent of a 7-win team. And, of course, you make the playoffs, and Buffalo loses their playoff game, and then you come back and you look at what happened with Tennessee. They win a playoff game, and they felt so good about their season. They fired their head coach, Mike Mularkey. So, what happens now, and until the young quarterbacks in the AFC get better, you're going to see a bunch of that. And I was just looking at this. How about this? Again, too many coaching changes. In the top 9 picks in the draft right now, 7 of the top 13, 6 of the top 9 are coaches right now as far as the worst team, if you just go by draft order. 6 of the top 9 and 7 of the top 13 are coaches that just got hired this year.
Hmm. What'd you think of the Bills yesterday? Are you taking that? That was an impressive win. Going to Big D, backs against the wall, Jason Garrett needed that win. You saw Jerry Jones up at the press box. Jerry Jones, he's pure gold when things aren't going well. You know, he calls himself the GM. He also said he once had a brain of the 4-year-old because he was tested. But when you see him up there and how pissed he was, I'll never forget. Like, I've seen Elway with that face on and the coach gets fired. I've seen that look that Jason Garrett got. But you know, a lot of times you can't do anything midseason. I get that. Sometimes it sparks the team. Sometimes it doesn't. So I'm okay if coaches hold on to that. Did you happen to see that, though? Josh Allen, completion percentage is not great. He's one of the, I was showing you before the game, he's still one of the bottom quarterbacks. But I'll be honest with you, that play that he made, that's a leadership play that Josh Allen made. I'm talking about going for it on fourth down. Looks like he was stopped, fumbled the football, picked it up because it's halfway considered a forward pass, picks it up. Not only one effort against the Cowboys, but two to get that extra yards, pumped up, fired up. That's the stuff that wins your teammates over when you show that toughness that he did. And he's running the ball well. He's extremely good at running the football. What, 8 touchdowns now rushing the football? Like Josh Allen, for his size, he can move.
Yeah,
and he can scoop. But he made some accurate passes. Some of those were on the money yesterday. And that's tough, man. Thanksgiving Day, that's a primetime. The Bills' only primetime game. Going the Big D and winning the way they did. And a lot of people like the Bills. I know Therese likes the Bills going forward. I know other people nationally like the Bills going forward. They could provide a challenge, man, with Devin Singletary and Frank Gore. Singletary is much better running the ball this year than Gore. Gore is the third leading rusher in NFL history, but it's like 3.8 yards a carry. Singletary's over 5 yards a carry. Big difference between them two. That can be a dangerous team, especially with Cole Beasley, you know, just kind of being that X factor for that offense.
No, I would say a dominant team right now, even though they're right behind the Patriots in the AFC East. It seems like everything is clicking in order. They've built that defense to the draft. We saw that defense step up. They had an interception and a forced fumble yesterday. That was against the Cowboys on primetime, their only primetime slot they've had this entire season. This Buffalo Bills, I mean, they don't have that tier B or tier A quarterback that they have with Josh Allen, but he can actually do a lot of stuff that is kind of goes under the radar a lot.
A lot of people saying Jason Garrett, he lost the team on that day. Here's Jerry Jones after the game.
I know Jason very well. I've had a wonderful opportunity to spend a football life with him, so I know him very well. You know, without a doubt, you've seen it. Nobody wants it to go. And I'm going to tell you this right now, he's got my back too.
He's got my back too.
Staying with him.
Certainly didn't look like it, there, Jerry. And I don't know what, I mean, I'll give Jerry this. He's extremely loyal, man. He is extremely loyal. And Garrett makes some clown calls sometimes. That team is low. Dak Prescott's been playing extremely well. You got Zeke in the backfield. Here's what Jerry Jones says. He says he's going to make every decision with the Super Bowl in mind.
For me, I'm looking ahead at another ball game, and I'm looking ahead at winning five straight, and helping write a story that they'll talk about how it looked like you were down and out and got it done. I mean that. That's the way that I'm operating. Every decision that I make over the next month will be with an eye in mind to get us in the Super Bowl now.
And a lot of times that doesn't work. You know, the old good old vote of confidence. Jason Garrett's been getting this vote of confidence.
Yeah, for the past three seasons.
He's been getting it. He's been getting the vote of confidence. Now, I thought when the Cowboys played the Patriots in the terrible weather, you know, again, it came down to that tripping call that was so stupid. There was two of them.
Yeah, two of them.
And in that last one, Travis Frederick was a joke. And even the NFL came out and said, we screwed up.
Which I hate.
That was a big, big play in that game. I'll give the Cowboys credit going toe-to-toe on the road in a very, very tough game. They laid an egg against the Bills at home. Laid an egg. Thanksgiving Day, it's traditional. You know, Dallas Cowboys needed that win, and they didn't get it. Buffalo Bills ended up coming away with that victory. Dana Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joins two shows during the week, and also his players-only show on Thursday night. All Chiefs players. It's always him and Joe Mays, and they bring in a surprise player all the time here and there. It's Desmond Moses, the former Chiefs linebacker that came in with the last week. He was asked how he expects things to play out this weekend.
Yeah, I get a little concerned because if you look at the Chiefs, they're 7-4, and I believe four of their wins have been by a touchdown or less. And also, you know, their losses have been like that too. So I don't know if this team, for some reason, somehow we seem to find ourselves in closer games than we really should be. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, maybe an 8-point game at the most, but I would venture to believe, I can't believe that we would wind up beating them that bad, although we did that earlier this season, so mm-hmm. Anything can happen. But this latter part of the season, after Thanksgiving, cold weather, I just can't imagine it being that kind of game, because I think we can score some points, but I think we're going to try to establish the run a little bit more than we did in the past. So I could see it being maybe a 28-21 game.
Ooh, that's pretty close. I don't know. I've felt up and down with this team this year. There's certain games I didn't think they'd win. This is a game I just feel extremely confident for the Chiefs. I think that defense has finally got its mojo back, still has got a groove back with that defense. I think the offense wants to make some amends. And I think Patrick Mahomes, he's aware. He knows what people are saying. Flavor of the month, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, you name it. Like, people think he's having it down here. Mahomes is actually having a very good year. He is. I'm with Dana on that running game. They've got to find a way in the running, especially when the wind's going to be like it is. LeSean McCoy, hold the football. He got away with one in Mexico City. The ball came out. It came back to him. He's been loose with the football lately. That's not going to play. This team does miss that Kareem Hunt in the backfield. They do. They miss that stud, that horse in the backfield that played consistently, Not only that, Kareem Hunt was a Patriots killer. Total killer. Well over 200 yards catching and receiving the two games he played against them.
Then I feel like Darrell Williams showed those signs of possibly looking at like a possible Kareem Hunt type role.
Well, really?
I've seen it. That's just me on my eye test.
That's a stretch. I like Darrell Williams.
I do.
Trust me, I like Darrell Williams back at LSU, and I like him here. I thought he did well. You know, and I loved his attitude, man. Backing up Fournette, backing up Darius guys like he did. Never complained, just went out, did his job. Showed some certain things. I think he needs more of a rhythm, more timing, more play action. I'd like to see Darwin Thompson play a little bit more. I would. Again, they drafted him for that purpose. And again, just like the Packers in 2017, they go out and get two running backs. You know, this year, I think the Chiefs are going to have to do that in the draft. Not the first round, not the second round. Later in the draft, mid rounds, that's where you can get value at the running back position, especially nowadays in how to do it. But I do feel the Chiefs need to run the football. And I know Pat Mahomes is the quarterback, but just to help him out, just to supplement it. Pat Mahomes is the best at that play action pass. The way he holds the football and hides it is so good. But you got to show that element that you're willing to still run the football. It's like the Titans. They never backed away from it all with Derrick Henry. Even down, they knew that their best chance to win was going Derrick Henry instead of putting it all on Ryan Tannehill. Now, at the end of the game, they put on Tannehill. And I'll give him credit. He turned things around. Titans can be a scary team if they can put things together, to be honest with you. Tannehill's been playing well for him.
And I'm actually very surprised Tannehill has actually had his second wind.
Coming up next, we'll talk defensive film analyst Arrowhead Pride, Craig Stout. If this defense has changed or not, what's he expecting next?
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.